Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time to dominate the sportsbooks on Moneyline. Your best live odds on the MLB postseason.
On the seventh pitch, Harper.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Plus all the NFL and college football action you need before opening kickoff.
Steps into it. Pass is caught. Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
Inch by inch, play by play. So we're finished.
With your host, Donnie Wrightside.
Last year, Kevin, in the National League, which is where you're looking at, you know who ended up in the NLCS? Yeah, the 5 and the 6.
And Kevin Walsh.
That is one of the most remarkable performances in a negative fashion that we've ever seen.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Right here on a Tuesday, Sports Grid Network. It's time for Moneyline, the best hour of your day. Right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. And here's what you could hear tonight, K-Dub. Are you ready for this one? Crosby on the breakaway. He shoots. He scores. Oh, yes. Hockey back in the knee into our lives today, K-Dub. Away we go.
And the saying goes, Donnie, if a tree falls and no one's around to hear it, didn't make a noise. Is that perhaps apropos tonight to the hockey? I mean, are you excited about it? You're a hockey guy. You're betting it. What's the story?
I mean, that's the reason why I'm bringing Omaha on Game Time Decisions, apparently, tonight. Preds, Lightning, Blackhawks, Penguins, Kraken, Golden Knights tonight. As we get off, and by the way, Pittsburgh, a -250 favorite in hockey tonight. Every one of these, though, 6.5 looks like, Kevin, across the board. We're supposed to get goals right away in the NHL. 5:30 start. So I know while you're prepping, you're getting your notes together for GTD, you'll pop on the Preds Lightning, just see what's going on, get a feel for Amalie Arena.
I got to love that hockey in this nonsensical 5:30 start to their season doesn't even get standalone status because Major League Baseball has a game on. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Just imagine if Tampa Bay was still in it, man. Be in shambles if, you know, would anybody watch the Lightning or would actually nobody go to the Tampa Bay Rays game because they were at the Lightning game. I think they care more about hockey in Tampa, actually, than anything else at this point.
They don't care about baseball. We know that.
No, they certainly don't. But that's okay. They'll spend a few billion dollars on an arena where 13,000 people will show up, which 11,000 of those are the away team like the Boston Red Sox or the New York Yankees. And they'll say how great it is to have that new ballpark, and away they go. But we do have hockey tonight. But also, yes, we do have Major League Baseball and chances today for teams to play and move on. And teams to play and go home today. Houston, Minnesota, 4:07 gets it started. 8:03 tonight, Baltimore and Texas. Triple header on deck for tomorrow. Now, I'm looking at tomorrow. So if we have Baltimore and Texas, Do they have off tomorrow? Because here's what I'm not looking at the schedule itself. I'm just looking at the odds board, which has Houston, Minnesota, because there has to be a game tomorrow. Philadelphia, Atlanta, because there has to be a game tomorrow. And the Dodgers in Arizona, because they're off today. So again, there has to be a game tomorrow. I'm wondering if Baltimore wins, they're not going to take a day off in Texas, right? There'd be four games scheduled for tomorrow?
Yeah, there'd be four games.
Tremendous. So I got 2, 5, and 9. So what's that game fit in at like 7 o'clock? I guess.
I think it's up two side. 7:07.
There you go. Beautiful. Make sure it happens tomorrow all the way around. But baseball did happen last night. The Dodgers, I have no idea what's going on. They look like a shell of their former selves, getting hammered on a night-to-night basis. And it's pretty easy to lose baseball games when you constantly put yourself down 3, 4, 5, 6 runs before you even get a plate appearance. But the game of the night last night was Philadelphia and Atlanta, with Philadelphia cruising. If I would have told you the final statistics, the Braves get 4 hits in that baseball game. The Braves have 1 batter come up with a runner in scoring position, and yet they scored 5 times and won that game. You never would have believed it.
Yeah, look, it was the awakening, though, of what is still the best lineup in Major League Baseball, and it was going to happen at some point. You know, I think, look, this rest stuff is odd. It's an interesting topic. Sharapan and Rainier were yelling at each other about it last night on Game Time Decisions. Nevertheless, once Atlanta woke up, it looked like Philly was in for some trouble. And look, that Austin Riley home run is not just the biggest home run that's happened so far. It could end up being the difference between who wins the World Series. The Philadelphia Phillies were booked as the favorite to win the World Series when they took the 3-0 early lead in that baseball game looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Well, those odds have obviously shifted, and Atlanta is back under 3-1 to win the title because they believe that the two best teams in baseball are playing right now in Philadelphia and Atlanta. And Atlanta now has all of the momentum, and yeah, I know it's going back to Philly, but we know what the Braves numbers look like, Donnie. I'm assuming Atlanta is a favorite in Game 3 just because Atlanta is favorite in every game they play. Are they really not?
That's interesting. And they shouldn't be a favorite. In what world would Elder be a favorite over Nola at home with the Phillies? They're about a -125, the Phillies, right now, which does make it interesting saying, okay, well, the Phillies should win Game 3. Let me tell you right now, the winner of Game 3, Kevin, wins this series. And the Phillies are favorite in Game number 3, which is awesome to see, at least from a Phillies side. But it is wild. And yes, I do agree that.
Game 4?
It's probably going to be one of those same games they had in game number 1. Like Ranger Suarez will get the start. Maybe
Walker.
He goes a little bit longer than that. Exactly. And I guess it would be, what was game 1 was Saturday, Thursday. So I guess it'll be Strider in 4 when he got lit
Strider's
last year by the Phillies in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Yeah, but he'll definitely throw game 4.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, the Phillies won't be favored in that fourth game. There's a 0% chance of that.
It's interesting. You would think not, but if it's a closeout game, I don't know. It might be borderline there. You'd have the better pitcher in Strider, but again,
Strider.
And I'll take I would love Strider. It too. Like I'll fade Strider in Game 4. Like if I'm almost, I know you can't do this, Braves. I would save Strider for Game 5 at home, where he would dominate the Phillies. I really would.
He's been better on the road this year. I would absolutely throw him in Game 4.
Yeah, he got Phillies cracked him over the head last year, which is the key to them winning the series in Philadelphia. And those fans will get all over him. And you'll know in Game 3. You'll know right away. If Nola's on, they'll beat Atlanta. And then it'll be so much fun to watch. You know, again, the Braves, best team in baseball, on the ropes. But the Phillies let one get away last night. Phillies should have won that game probably 4-1, 4-2 as it ended up. Trey Turner let the floodgates open like an idiot by just not fielding a ball, you know, coming in from the outfield, which allowed them to get a glimpse of Hill. Like, oh my God, we can actually score here. There's a pretty good chance that, honestly, if they don't score that you know, error run to make it 4-1, imagine shutting out the Braves at home back-to-back. That would be outrageous. Then the Phillies would have clowned them in game number 3, but now here we are, 1-1.
So that's, again, though, where, like, that big argument comes in of, and that's, you know, last night Sharapan was kind of getting ganged up on because Ranieri's like, listen, clearly this whole rest thing has hurt them. And Sharapan's like, oh, I don't know, how's that a thing? And I'm like, listen, the team hasn't been shut out all year at home. They've been shut out twice. And they're shut out in the first game, and now they're getting no hit through 5 innings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, clearly the rest was bad for Atlanta. Maybe it's not bad for everyone, but it's clearly bad for Atlanta.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing. You're built to play every day in baseball, but it is a fun series that is going to continue tomorrow. But the question on my mind is, I think Minnesota beats Houston today. I do. And if Eovaldi goes back to being Eovaldi, which he was in game number one of his playoff start, they're going to end Baltimore today. Just wild times in Major League Baseball. Fun to talk about. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on a Tuesday afternoon. Major League Baseball playoff center stage today. Houston, Minnesota, game number one, 407. FanDuel opened up at minus 152, now sits at 130. BetMGM's actually down to minus 120. I'm trying to figure this one out. Now, for me, from a betting angle, I think Minnesota wins today. From a cheering angle, I would like Houston, because if they win the World Series and or the AL, it's a couple hundred bucks in my pocket. I don't know why Houston is getting money in this game. Sonny Gray is the superior pitcher. Minnesota is now at home. I guess we're saying to ourselves, well, Houston is supposed to be good. They win this game. I don't agree with the line drop here. I know it's going to be, oh, you know, it's they got to win this game. Well, both teams have to win this game. You know what I mean? Like what angle is that in the playoffs? Like, they have to win. Like, they have to win every game in the playoffs, it feels like. I don't know why this line is dropping to as low as minus 120 at this point.
Yeah, I imagine that's because it's the Astros. As someone with a Twins future, this is everything that you could ask for. Tied series going to Minnesota with Sonny Gray getting the baseball. Sonny Gray is, you know, and so you actually can put some more facts behind this, Donnie, than I can.
Yeah.
Of all the starting pitchers in the postseason, I think Sonny Gray is the best. I don't know, maybe your numbers would point towards a Strider or Zach Wheeler, but I think it's Sonny Gray for me. And this is the spot for Minnesota. You take the 2-1 series lead. Yes, you're going to want to close that out in Minnesota in game number four, and they're going to have a legitimate chance to do that, because I don't know, does Houston go to Verlander in game four if they're down 2-1? Or are they going to be willing to throw a France or a Brown?
Well, the thing I you know, referenced this previous weekend, or so to say a weekend ago, when Houston was still trying to get into the playoffs. And I remember going on the weekend series, like, it's really going to be like Gallen versus J.P. France? And I believe they threw Verlander instead. They scratched France and ended up being he threw a gem. Like, there's no way you're looking, because J.P. France is like, oh, well, he's a pitcher, and if we need a pitcher, he's the guy to pick. Well, in a closeout situation, he's not taking the mound. It's almost one of those table setters, right, Kevin? It's like, okay, let's see if Javier can perform today. If we win, we'll throw J.P. France. Hey, we win, awesome. If not, full rest at home, Verlander on the mound. That's why you play all these games and try to win the division. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Then if you're Houston and you get back to game five, which it'd be really interesting to see what that line would look like. Maybe Joe Ryan gets the baseball for Minnesota. I don't, between, you know, him or Ober. Probably Joe Ryan. It would be interesting, though, because game five, now Houston would be favored, but you get a rematch of game two on the mound, right? You know, Valdez and Pablo Lopez, and look, I know it's a hard thing to do, but man, did Pablo Lopez have that Houston numbers lineup the other day?
Yeah, he's really good. He's really good. So Minnesota's tilting as the favor for me because, again, Gray's on the mound in a pivotal game three. It's only a five-game series. So usually you take a look at a seven-game series, like, hey, the odds are tremendous if you win game three and won the one. Well, they're even more tremendous in a five-game series where there's no room for error on the opposite side. Dean Kramer is going to be on the mound today versus Nathan Eovaldi. That line opened up at 138. Hasn't moved at all. Stayed right at 138. I'm interested to see how Baltimore performs tonight. Why? Well, they lose their home, but also just looking at the batting I want to say averages, just the batting lineup today, last 30 days, Baltimore's in the tank against right-handed pitchers, and Eovaldi was sensational so far in the postseason when he was a question mark coming into the playoffs for me. He's performed really well, and I think Texas wins tonight and closes out Baltimore, which, what a great season they had, but you want to go out with a thud, man. You didn't even give your fans anything to cheer about here.
No, not at all. And I thought that Baltimore would win game number one with Bradish, and then I thought there would be a nice chance to buy back on Texas. I thought they'd have the advantages for the rest of the series. It did feel, I know it's easy to say now, right, but it really felt like Baltimore losing game one, their series hopes were completely toast. And I got it, you know, but imagine also telling Orioles fans, hey, we're going to bounce back in game two, score 8 runs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't make a difference at all. Aaron Hicks hit a 3-run home run in the 9th inning. And I was like, nah, this is fine. It was still 11-8 in terms of a final score. So, yeah Baltimore definitely let that slide there. Let me ask you, because I know obviously if the Astros get there, you would favor the Astros. If we end up getting Minnesota, Texas, Twins with home field advantage, early thoughts for you on that series? If we get it.
If we do get it, I probably still will be leaning at this point towards the Rangers. I wonder, like, because coming into the playoffs, like, hey, man, they're really going to be able to outslug everybody because their pitching isn't that good. Well, their pitching's been good, and they're slugging, which is their dangerous combination. That's what we figured, like, Max Scherzer or, like, a Jacob deGrom heading down the stretch would give them. I would give them the nod because, obviously, they're cooking at this point now. It's like, you know what? You know, we ended strong, and now look at what we're doing here. So I would lean that way if it was there. But, again, Minnesota, interesting with their pitching. Their pitching is better, technically, but it hasn't slowed down the Rangers yet.
I think Minnesota would be a slight favorite based on home field advantage. I do, like, if, let's just say Houston ends up, you know, and Minnesota go 5, right? And Texas gets all this rest. Like, what kind of narrative do we then walk into? Of, oh, well, the Rangers set their rotation, but uh-oh, we know everybody that gets rest in the playoffs is working at a major disadvantage. So there's a lot of interesting stuff that play there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it today. 2 good games on the docket, then tomorrow could be 4 games, which would be fantastic. And sometimes just as a baseball fan, if you don't have a betting favorite there, you just root for 4 games all afternoon tomorrow and say, hey, man, let's just see what happens and all that good stuff. So we'll wait for that stuff to come out. You ready for a little off-topic here? You know Aaron Rodgers every Tuesday goes on the Pat McAfee Show. Would you pay money for this? You ready? Rodgers is inviting Kelsey for a vaccine debate with Anthony Fauci. Does that hit?
Yeah,
does that hit home for you?
That cannot be a real thing. Yeah, this guy's completely lost his mind. I'm good. I'm good now. I mean, I've been good for a while, but now I'm good. What's he doing? Why is he publicly embarrassing himself like this, Donnie?
I don't know. I started with the Mr. Pfizer comment, and I think Pfizer actually put out like a tweet where it had a jersey number 87. It said Mr. Pfizer on the back of it, something like that. So I guess they're going back and forth, and away it goes. But it turned into like, this is the problem with Aaron Rodgers, too, because this is his post-football life here. It's almost like, hey, we got Aaron Rodgers on there. What do you want to talk about? I don't know, this and that and the other. And also, I remember when he got injured, I was like, the reason why he's fun, like, on TV is because he's going to be playing and week to week telling you, like, what's going on. He's not obviously really week-to-week what's going on with the Jets now. I don't know what it turned into here, but it's certainly interesting conversation that has nothing to do about football. And it's like, oh, all right, is this what we're going to get every Tuesday? Hey, how'd it go this week, Aaron? Well, you know, I did some ayahuasca and, you know, had a good meal somewhere on a Tuesday night. That's what it is now.
It's an embarrassing look. Look, we're not like going to reopen this stuff in terms of debating the vaccine. But when was the last time anybody was even debating the vaccine? Like, what is he doing? And then, like, the, oh, well, come on and debate me, and I'll bring, what, Joe Rogan, and you can bring Anthony Fauci. Shut up. That a clown, man. Jesus, good grief.
AR next year. AR coming back to the Jets
like
next year.
We'll see.
And by the way, I find myself doing this with the Jets, too. I don't think the Jets would be all that good with Aaron Rodgers. Am I wrong? Because, like, their win total is 9.5.
No,
like, ooh, this is going to be interesting. I'm telling you, I don't think the Jets would be all that good with that offensive line. I think he would be getting buried weekly in the pocket.
But he knows how to get the football out quick. And there's also just, like, Donnie, in terms of how defenses approach it, right? Like, the level of respect that you have to put on Rodgers compared to Zach Wilson, it's way different. It's way different. I'm not telling you that they'd be the best offense in football, but there's no offensive line bad enough to where Aaron Rodgers and Zach Wilson don't make a difference for a foot. You know what I mean? Like, that gap, Donnie, is always going to make a difference.
Yeah, Vera Tucker is down for the year now, I believe, and I see it multiple times. What was it, Becton coming on and off the field. So they're in a little bit of shambles there. Not a great look coming up against the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend. Let's see if we get Fletcher Cox back there. What do you got?
Just to, you know, you said yesterday, the mm-hmm. Justin Jefferson injury, I'm sure you guys, you know, yes. talked this morning.
Yep.
You were like, oh, I'll tell you this right now, he'll miss a couple. And then the Vikings yeah. came out like, IR. And then I think Jefferson's camp went, yeah, IR and then some, should have paid us this offseason.
Yes.
This guy's yes. season ended last week.
Yes. We're going to talk about that because there's some other key injuries around the NFL, but that certainly is one of them, where the Vikings do go from here. Trust me on hamstrings. It's never a tweak, people. Never. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here on a Tuesday afternoon. How about this? We want to look. I know we got Chris from Austin calls in. Great caller, right? And he doesn't take any offense to it. Rufick Loeb Life Field will be closed tonight per Major League Baseball. I mean, what are we doing? Like, if I had a can opener the size that could open up a roof, I would cut every dome's roof off for Major League Baseball, Kevin. All of them. Just like you know, when you twist that little handle, pop, there's your roof laying on the side of the field.
It opens. Why is it not open tonight? Is it hot?
I don't know.
Exactly.
If it's if it's 76 degrees, Texans.
It can't because it's cold. Yeah. It can't because it's cold. You're telling me that it's closed because it's cold?
I mean, like if you live in Texas, apparently it has to be between like 78 and 77 degrees, between 77 and a half, you can go outside. Any other time, you can't go out. It's just impossible to go sit somewhere. Yes. Here, you ready for this, Kevin? 8 o'clock tonight, it's 80 degrees. 75 by the end of the game. What a beautiful night to go out to a ballpark, right? Relax, shorts, T-shirt, grab a beer, a hot dog. Apparently way too hot. For Texans, 80 degrees.
Is that hot? Is that what they're calling it, hot? I don't understand.
No,
I thought it was going to be cold for them.
Yeah, we can't have it. Yeah, exactly. Like, if there's like a 1% chance of rain, Miami has a dome, which makes me laugh. It rains every day in Miami for like 3 seconds and then stops. But every day it's closed because, yes, there's a chance of a thunderstorm every day. So that's their get-off on. Like, oh, you know what? I'm going to open a roof, man. It might rain today. 0% precipitation in Texas tonight for this game. In Arlington. Zero. Close the roof.
Yeah. Tough to say what's going on there.
And by the way, the thing that always gets me mad, too, about Houston, Houston's ballpark looks so awesome with the roof open. It just looks like a tin can dome when it closed. But, you know, fans in... Apparently, let's go... All right, you know, let's keep going on Texas here. Ready for this? Houston, Texas. They got a dome, right? Is it because their fans can't get loud enough to cheer? Like, they actually need a fake home field advantage? Let's go to Dallas. Dallas has a dome. They can't cheer. Like, they need to be like, you know, if I clap real light, it's echoing because it's a dome, so we can get away with it here. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Baseball, Houston, dome. Is it because they need a home field advantage that's fake? Because they need to, like, have almost like artificial crowd noise with the dome closed? And then the same thing with the Texans, or excuse me, with the Rangers tonight. What is it? What am I missing?
This is just how they, but you already know this. This is, you know, this has been your thing.
I get upset by it
here. How upset would you be if they put a dome in Philly? Would you hate that?
Yes, I would hate it. Like, I enjoy the elements. And as crazy as it sounds, like, oh, you're stupid, man. You watch a game in a dome. Like, no, I don't want to watch a football game in a dome. Like, I remember so many games in December, January, you know, NFC title games, playoff games, where I look like a mountain man going to the game in a full snowsuit and loving every minute about that. I love it. I love being in the elements. I do. Now, what about baseball? Well, baseball's not played in February, you know what I mean? That's not what it's built for here.
It's, but this is, again, like, I don't even know what to say. The fact that it's 80 degrees, there's no rain. I truly can't tell if the gimmick is it's hot or cold. I don't know what the bit is.
That is the bit. Like, the bit is that's like in Texas, it's, you never know. Like, hey, it's not 78 degrees. Pfft, I can't go outside today.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot there, but look, this is what they do.
And that bit will continue to run. All right, let's get back to the NFL here. Surprising news out of Miami, which basically hit yesterday. Devon Achane down with a knee injury for multiple weeks. Didn't hear anything about it during the game or afterwards. And quite frankly, I wasn't really paying all that much attention once he scooted 75-plus yards for a touchdown. I was basically out on that game. But that's a big injury here. Now, devastating enough that he's going to miss games. They're lucky he's not like, hey, you know what? Surgery, and he's down for the season. That's a great weapon. Mostert and Achane in the backfield is a track team. You want to have at least one of them going, which you're going to have Mostert, but we've seen Mostert get hurt multiple times in his career. Maybe it's not Tua that's going to hold the Miami Dolphins back. It's their backfield? Man, tough scene.
I mean, how long? But what do you mean? I don't think the backfield's going to be, like, it's fine. They have Raheem Mostert, and at some point,
that's what I'm saying.
He gets hurt all the time.
Yeah, well, that's what you're expecting at this point. But
four weeks
down, you come back. Maybe he is a little bit brittle. It's an NFL, not college football. And Mostert, oh, look at that, struggling with his hamstring again. We've seen it all from these teams, which it's a shame. Like, we're only in week five, week six going into the NFL, and it seems like everybody's banged up here. But they did get lucky, but I don't even remember where the knee injury even happened. It's like one of those, like, Tua Tagovailoa shows up in a meeting. It's like, hey, my head hurts.
As somebody that was, like, waiting for 70-plus on Mostert, like, that's something. Like, I'm sorry, I don't understand, because Achane was still getting carries over Mostert deep into that football game. So I as well do not understand what was going on there, and it's Mike McDaniel's fault, evidently. But this is the one thing for me in terms of, and look, I was wrong. Miami Dolphins are awesome, and we know that. But the Tua injury was all anyone could talk about, and I get it. He's the quarterback, and it was, you know, obviously scary situations. But they had injury concerns outside of that. Like, Teron Armstead, you know, their left tackle on IR. And it's like, of course he's on IR. Teron Armstead's always injured. This team still doesn't have Jalen Ramsey. We don't know what he's going to look like when he gets back, right? The running back room now a little bit banged up here. So Miami just... And Lisi always says this, and I think he's right. You can bet the Dolphins week to week, but it's just not a team you want to hold season-long futures on.
Yeah, no, he's right in a way. And also, never believe what players say either. If you remember when Teron Armstead went down in training camp, Tyreek Hill took the podium like 5 minutes later after practice. Like, yeah, man, went over to Big Dog. I knew it wasn't that bad. He's like, yeah, I'll be cool. I'm fine. You know, I might have to rest a week or two. Yeah. A week or two turns into two full months here. It's like David Bakhtiari. When I saw the Bakhtiari, hey, by the way, he's going down for another surgery. Like, oh, he's going to try to come back in 2 or 3 weeks. Like, no. We think we'll be fine for training camp next year. And I look at that and I say, it's the player's prerogative. Like, if you retire, you get nothing. So why would you not just be like, you know what? I'll just, you know, surgery, I'm down for the year, and I know I'm going to get paid the rest of this year, and I'll show up at training camp next year, and I'll be good for another year, even though I probably won't play. You can't fault the guys for doing that, but his has just been an enigma. I've never seen a guy on, like, a, hey, he's day-to-day, never play in 2 years. That's what's pretty impressive is what it feels like.
It's been going on for a while, you know. And in terms of Monday Night Football here, like, this Green Bay team, it doesn't look great, and Jordan Love's making mistakes, but, like, they have played maybe one game this season healthy. Like, they've not played any healthy football. Mm-hmm. You know, someone, you know, a Packer fan got mad at me last night. Well, you haven't watched the Packers. Like, I don't, you know, the whole arguments never land, but the reality of, like, oh, everybody's injured. Not everybody starts the season losing their best players in the way the Green Bay Packers have. You know, I mean, Aaron Jones played one football game. So that team's hitting the bye, and I'm interested to see what we get out of Green Bay post-bye week, and if that team can, you know, get healthy and get on a bit of a run. Because they missed some opportunities in the early portion of this schedule.
Yeah, it was one yesterday. I had the Raiders, but didn't have a lot of confidence in it. Just had to pick a side, so I stuck with that for the day. Here's what I think, because and my only handicap in that game, which I joked with Ben this morning, was I think Jimmy Garoppolo coming back means I know I'm going to get at least competent play from one quarterback here, and boy, I missed the beat on that one. Jimmy Garoppolo was okay, but boy, oh boy, I mean, Love was just out in left field for that game. If he just doesn't play like a, let me just throw easy interceptions, they probably walk away with the victory of the Green Bay Packers, which leads us down that wire. Like, look, I understand, like, Jordan Love isn't C.J. Stroud. He's not, you know, Bryce Young. Oh, man, I'm just getting my first couple games in. When technically he is, but he's been around the block, man. That was just, that's a bad football team they lost to last night, and they just gave the game away.
Yeah, no doubt. I also... And this is sometimes where you know, well, you want to be careful, like, not being too influenced by the broadcast. But, look, I know Max Crosby's really good. Max Crosby came off last night like the greatest defensive player mm-hmm. of all time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, listen, again, like you can't allow a defense that is essentially made up of one guy in Max Crosby, mm-hmm. and then that one player wrecks the whole game. It's like, guys, we got to do a little better here, right? Like, certainly we were game planning for Max Crosby. Why are we running the ball with immobile A.J. Dillon directly at Max Crosby? How is that the plan?
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad watching that game last night. And again, I didn't tune in for the entirety of it. I told you yesterday, I really wasn't that interested in it overall. And it turned out maybe it was the best thing overall not to be fully interested in that game. But the Raiders do get a victory there. Still, I mean, if you tell me in a game, like, okay, what's going to happen? Well, Devontae's not going to do much. Devontae Adams talking about. And Jacobs still going to run 100 times for no yards. But the Raiders will pull this one out. You say, my goodness, what happened to the Green Bay Packers? And right, it should be the Green Bay Aaron Rodgers, or excuse me, Green Bay Aaron Jones? Like, is that what their team should be? They can't win without the guy? Can't do anything?
I mean, the thing is, in terms of, like, the best running backs in football, you'd probably name a bunch before you'd name Aaron Jones. But when you look at it, A.J. Dillon's clearly turning into a bust. And I know he was kind of good last night, but it was hardly efficient. We know Aaron Jones is much better than him. And in terms of the pass catchers, you know, we look at Aaron Jones as maybe the most reliable pass catcher in the room on Green Bay. So... Mm-hmm. You know, how many guys are more important at the running back position to their team? I'm not sure there's five more important than Aaron Jones.
Yeah, so we'll see where the Packers go, but it's clear in that division there is a top dog, and that's the Detroit Lions, who look really good and impressive last week. So, well, they really didn't beat a great opponent. They were favored. They were supposed to win. Down their top wideout, down a running back, a talented first-rounder, still performed without missing a beat. I think the play called Ben Johnson. Put it this way, who's he coaching next year? Detroit Lions offensive coordinator. He's got to go somewhere and get himself a job. Yeah. I mean, he's been phenomenal now. You turn Jared Goff back into, like, hey, he can't play well anymore and he's done. He's basically a throw-in player in the Stafford trade. Looks like he could be a franchise guy there.
Yeah, he turned down jobs this offseason, Ben Johnson, to come back. So he'll have his pick.
Him and Dable?
Whatever he wants.
Yeah, good move, Dable. Dable should have still be turning down jobs being the Buffalo Bills, man. Dable, Joe Schoen, ready to show the road. And is Danny Dimes going to show up on Sunday Night Football in Buffalo? Who cares what you say, right? Yeah, who does care? They're still going to get blown out in that game. We'll be back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, how about the two 5-0 teams in the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers? Talked about this morning, Kevin. You'll like this. Dave Sharapan joined me and Ben early line, and we were going over, okay, San Francisco 49ers look good, Eagles look good, where'd a couple other teams fit in? And you know what I brought up and told him? I said, can we please get a team this year, even at the, I guess, marginalization of my Eagles? Can somebody just go undefeated so I never have to see Chris Berman just pop on ESPN and be like, pop the champagne corks, the 72 Dolphins, who would get eviscerated by a half dozen teams in the league now and would certainly lose multiple football games. I'm tired of that. And even if it takes them beating the Eagles in Philadelphia and running the table just to be undefeated, I'll take it.
Why can't the Eagles just be the ones that go undefeated?
I do, but see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I hate it so much, Kevin, I would just even sacrifice the Eagles to get rid of it. Like, I could have said, like, yeah, Eagles win it all in the Super Bowl and be done with it. But no, like, I hate it so much, I'd rather a rival beat the Philadelphia Eagles if that's what it takes.
Really?
Twice.
Why do you hate it so
point.
Much?
I just it gets unnerving. Like, they interview the old guys, like, yeah, man, only one team we wear that with a badge of honor. I'm like, just be done with it, man. Because nobody's going to go undefeated all the way through because they're going to keep at it. You think 17 games? Yeah, it's going to be 18, 19, and we're going to have four teams in London. So now it's impossible to win every game because you know they're going to have you're going to have to play back-to-back in London and come right home and then play in Seattle. It's like, come on, man, enough with this nonsense. I just one of those things I don't like.
All right. I mean, I don't know. I think, when is that game? What week is that game, Eagles-Niners? Could they both be unbeaten going into the football game? Niners, to me, I worry a little bit about going into this Cleveland game if Watson's back.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. The Eagles got the Dolphins next week. I want to say is it December 4th? December 3rd.
Oh, so it's deep.
December 3rd, deep. So the Eagles, and again, the Eagles are catching a break this week. No Aaron Rodgers on the road for the Jets, because that would have been a tough tale, just playing on the road against them. Dolphins at home, Commanders on the road, Cowboys at home, Chiefs on the road, Bills at home, then the 49ers, then the Cowboys, then the Seahawks. Now, and here's what I was saying, because we go over like the 49ers versus the Eagles. The 49ers look really good right now. The Eagles obviously no slouch. But if you just go schedule by schedule, that's a 49ers schedule by a mile over this Philadelphia Eagles schedule.
Yeah, the thing again, though, with that Eagles schedule, Donnie, is how many of those games are the Eagles underdogs in? Just two. At Kansas City, at Dallas, that's it. The point is not, doesn't mean everything's easy. But again, for all of the people that, oh my God, I don't know how the Eagles ever make it out of this schedule. Well, it's you know, it's a different situation here when we try and, you know, take a look at the expectations. Jalen Hurts doesn't lose as a favorite. That's been going on for a long time now.
No, and he doesn't. But it's still one of those where you are going to get a punch. You got four straight weeks, Cowboys, Chiefs, Bills, and Niners, and then Cowboys on the back end of it, which is pretty impressive. So five straight weeks, and then you go, okay, whew, beat Dallas on the road. Where we go next week? Now you're going to head all the way up to the Pacific Northwest and take on the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm-hmm. But again, so that window from Dallas to Seattle, what's that, five mm-hmm. football games?
Yeah.
Is it, right? Is it five games?
One, two, three, four, five, six total games.
Six total.
Dallas. Dallas to Dallas is five. Dallas to Seattle, six.
What are people expecting the record to be for the Eagles in those games? 1-5? What are people thinking is going to happen there? Well, no, because, Donnie, if I'm not mistaken, coming out of that, the Eagles play... What is it like? It's two games against the Giants and then another bad team. Am I right about that?
End the season. It's Giants, Cardinals, Giants.
Okay. So, touchdown favorite, touchdown favorite, touchdown favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean they're going to win all the games, but you get my point. I'm just saying the. I don't know. I'm still bothered by the way some of the people discuss the Eagles win total, even though I pretended I wasn't when they were doing it. It is what it is. We'll see.
Yeah. No, well, it's going to be fun to play out. But if there's, it's funny, too, because I love the fact, like, the Bills are actually, is a really good football game. That's going to be in Philly. But the Chiefs and the Niners game, from an Eagles perspective, right? You go to the Super Bowl, and I still beat it to this day. It's not sour grapes. That game was played on turf. The Eagles walk away with a double-digit victory, if it was on turf. It wasn't. It was a bad field. The best pass rush in the history of the NFL was completely neutralized, which is a big deal. And the Eagles had a 10-point lead at the break, let that slip away. But that Niners game is going to be so much fun. And for both sides. Like, there's no part of me that's like, hey, man, it'll be nice if McCaffrey twisted his ankle 2 weeks early and Purdy hurt his elbow again. And No. I need everybody, all 11 on both sides, healthy for that game in Philadelphia. That is going to be such a fun game. Game of the year in the NFL, it could be turned into, depending on how both of these teams wind up in that game. You might be looking at one of those, you know, 10-1, 11-1 versus 11-1 games. Wild.
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be great because obviously the Niners feel like they have a lot to prove. But so do the, again, like, I think the Eagles do in some way too, right? Like, what if Brock Purdy still has not lost the football game going? Mm-hmm. Again, that'd be a lot, but, you know, that's the Eagles' chance. Because then what will happen is people will say that they're playing for a fluke, you know what I'm saying? Like, if the Niners get that win back, people are like, see, they would have won the Super Bowl. Like, that's how people
That's why
act.
It's such a big game. Like, I love it both ways. Like, you know, Philadelphia going to Kansas City, like, trying to avenge the Super Bowl in their own building. Like, I told you. Like, we play you anywhere, even in your own building, and beat you here. So it's going to be a fun matchup to see it sort of play out that way. Looking at teams in the NFC, it's pretty clear now, right? Eagles 5-0, 49ers 5-0. Clearly the class. I think you have some... The paper champion isn't the right word to use. I might use that with, like, the Buccaneers. But I think Detroit is actually a legitimate football team. Now, let me ask you this. Detroit or Dallas?
Detroit.
Yeah. Well, I think I agree with you there.
Defense has been better. Offense mm-hmm. has looked much better.
They lost mostly to an ACL. They're counting on that guy, too. They're down a couple players and still playing good football in the defense.
I mean, look, I know Carolina's a mess, but to put 40-plus up on a football team with losing Gibbs and St. Brown, I thought was really, really impressive by, you know, right now by Detroit. And Dallas probably still fourth on that list. But we'll see how the NFC South responds. You know, I mean, Donnie, Tampa Bay's only loss is to the Eagles. Mm-hmm. You think the Saints are pretty good? Tampa Bay went into New Orleans and, I mean, absolutely dominated them.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things here. You know, I get a kick out of through Dallas is 3-2, plus 51 differential. One of the best in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, because they've absolutely slaughtered three terrible teams. And, you know, sure, you get credit for that, but it doesn't matter when you then go up against a team like the Niners and get slaughtered like that. It nullifies everything. It really does. So, Dallas is hard to believe in. And by the way, you know, Tampa Bay and Detroit play this weekend, so we're going to find out a little something in that game in terms of, you know, Tampa Bay's at home catching a field goal off of a bye. It's a good spot for the Bucs.
It is a good spot for the Bucs. We'll see how they have, and also we'll see if Mike Evans is coming back for that game and see if he's able to practice. And, you know, from that just a tweak, which turned into an MRI, and thank God we have a bye week here, because that could be a big loss for them. One of the teams that I think is still flying under the radar this year, not getting a lot of hype here, because in the NFC you're focused on the Eagles, you're focused on the Cowboys, maybe a little Lions love there, and of course the San Francisco 49ers. Seattle Seahawks are 3-1 here. Game this weekend, and a chance to get to 4-1. I thought coming into the season they had, before you see anybody play, I thought they had a legitimate chance to take down the 49ers. Now, granted, the 49ers are playing really good football now, and we're weeks into the season. But I still look at Seattle as one of those teams that, you know, if they put some things together, I really think they can do a little bit of damage. What do you think about Seattle? Going up, Joe, and again, not an easy game. They're dogs to Cincinnati. Which did the whole world change on Cincinnati in one game against Arizona? Is that what I see? We're all believing in Joe Burrow in that offense again, and it's time to go. It's go time.
Look, it is a bit tempting. 31-1 to win a Super Bowl. Longer odds than the Chargers and the Jaguars. The Ravens continuing to fumble the division lead that it felt like they have had so many chances to close the door on. So there is some temptation there with Cincinnati, but to circle back to Seattle, you know, we see this all the time in the NFL where a team, you know, that you never think would lose in week one loses in week one, but it was just an outlier, right? And that might have been Seattle in their football game against the LA Rams. The thing with the Seahawks and, you know, their other, so they had the win against Detroit, right? But the Lions kind of flying high, catch them in overtime against, you know, off of the Chiefs win. I'm not trying to discredit it, but the other two games are Carolina and New York, who are unquestionably two of the five worst teams in football. So I think your question about Seattle, not to cop out, but it gets answered here against Cincinnati. It doesn't have to be a win, but if it's a roll, right? If it's a comfortable, you know, Bengals 10-plus type of victory, then it's okay. Listen, Seattle is a team that's going to be in the postseason hunt, but not a real noisemaker in the big picture.
Are we looking light on that total, too? 45. It's actually opened up at 43.5. It's up to 45.5. It just seems to me like if Joe Burrow is looking, feeling better, there's no doubt he's feeling much better than he did even a few weeks ago. Couple of plays in the pocket maneuvering around, but he wasn't under duress like he typically is. But it just looked like he had a heartbeat in that game, which was nice to see. I just want to see how they play in that game, because Seattle going on the road to go to 4-1 would be a big victory here. Now, the next team I want to talk about here, Minnesota Vikings, where they go. Justin Jefferson down for a few weeks now. Who knows? He's going to come back. Like, he's not just going to be shut down for the season. I think they shut him down for risk of, look, we know you're going to want to play. You're in a contract technically. He's not really in a contract here, but he is. He's looking for that monster extension and probably should be the highest paid wide receiver in football when that is completed. I think the Vikings are doing the right thing for both sides here by going, you're our guy in the future. Don't worry about stats. We want you to play again this year, yes. But we got to get you back at 100% where you don't do any further damage by saying, I got to get my numbers up if I want to get paid. I think they did right by him in this situation. By the way, Minnesota's in some trouble. Even this, Minnesota's a favorite on the road against Chicago. I actually disagree with that, Kevin. I don't know what you think about that.
I don't know what to do with Chicago right now. I don't. The Bears, so it's a two-game sample size, right? Like, Donnie, Justin Fields, his last two games has looked like maybe the best quarterback in the league. I don't know what to do with that. Like, I'm not saying... The Bears' defense, we know it's still bad, right?
Yeah.
So the expectation should be... What's the total right now in that game?
44 and a half. Down from 49.
Now explain that to me. Is it Chicago weather that we don't know about? Why is that total not 50?
Are they just saying Minnesota can't move the football anymore? Actually, it is supposed
Based
to be some
what?
Rain in the forecast. Yeah, there's some rain in the forecast, yeah. So it could be that.
I mean, but this is what I'm talking... Like, if we flip the Bears to favorites, which I think there's some validity to the idea that this should... Or maybe be a pick 'em, right? Home field advantage factored in a little bit, maybe minus one either way.
Yeah.
But if you're buying into the Bears, that means you're buying into the offense, and you're expecting them to go for 24-plus at minimum. If not, you know what I mean? If not flirt with the 30s, we know the Vikings can still get theirs. They move the football in Kansas City. They couldn't close drives. That total, again, like that has to be a monsoon secretly, Don. I need you to keep eyes on the weather. Are you not reading it the same way as me with that total?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just figure like, hey, Cousins doesn't have his weapon, so now they're going to turn into a double tight end set and run the football all day with Cam Akers and Alexander Mattison at this point. That's the way it looks. But yeah. No, it doesn't scream under in that game for me whatsoever. One more segment to go here on a Tuesday afternoon edition of Moneyline. Close it down and talk a little Major League Baseball, see if we get some action there. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's do it here. Major League Baseball today, 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock tonight. Houston and Minnesota, Baltimore and Texas. Javier Gray, Astros Twins. Kramer Eovaldi, Orioles and Rangers. Current lines here, which I don't agree with, I said to start the show. Minnesota minus 152 favorite drops to a minus 134 at FanDuel, as low as 120 on BetMGM. Baltimore and Texas, Kevin, opened as a minus 138. Still sitting at FanDuel at a minus 138, as low as 135. At Bet365 and BetMGM. Totals here, 8 for Houston and Minnesota, 9 for Baltimore and Texas. If I'm looking at this correctly for myself, two-team parlay this morning, they were both at minus 138, paid at a plus 197. I think both home teams win these games today, Kevin. I do.
Yeah, I like Minnesota with Sonny Gray. Kind of lean a little towards the under on that 9. Biggest total we've seen so far in the postseason between Texas and Baltimore there. Kramer a little bit better on the road. So maybe I'll play an under in that later baseball game.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch it play out. And from a baseball fan, I actually hope Baltimore wins because it means another day of playoff baseball for that series and 4 games. It'll be interesting to see if Houston's back against the wall, as we talked about earlier. J.P. France on the mound, supposed to be tomorrow. How about that, too, Kevin? Let's talk about a quick turnaround. Now, granted, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but your season on the line at 2 o'clock, which I guess is central time, would be 1 o'clock? I guess that's a central time zone. That's a tough scene, man, for Houston. Like, you don't even get the juices flowing. Like, hey, you know what? Let me get my mind right for the game tonight. If you wake up, eat breakfast, you're back out on that baseball field.
Yeah, that's, which is, I guess, why they're going at 4 o'clock. But, yeah, that's not exactly how you draw it up. That's a quick turnaround. Hot.
And how about tomorrow night? Have a fought on the mound tomorrow night versus Lynn. Like, the Dodgers, in a game where they're going to get closed out, got Lance Lynn on the mound. What happened? Well, when everybody gets injured, either kicked out of baseball.
Stop.
They should. They're a heavy favorite, man. Like 150 in some outlets here. And in that, here you go, Kevin. 9.5 as a total in that game. Now we could be back to business there. That's how it's done. Baseball today. Looking forward to football this weekend. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. This is Moneyline, Tuesday edition. We'll be back for Wednesday. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.